We've all witnessed it. Someone triumphantly declaring victory over a personal struggle, only to find themselves back where they started months later. When Oprah wheeled out 67 pounds of fat, representing her weight loss in 1988, then regained it all, she unknowingly demonstrated Martin Seligman's central insight. Some aspects of ourselves stubbornly resist change, despite our best efforts. This tension between what we can and cannot change about ourselves forms the heart of human experience. Two powerful worldviews collide in our understanding of personal change. The self-improvement camp insists anything is possible with enough effort, while biological determinism argues our genes make many changes impossible. Both perspectives are often wrong. The truth lies in between. Some aspects of ourselves change easily, others with extreme difficulty, and some not at all. Having studied human plasticity for decades, Seligman discovered that evolution shapes what we can and cannot change, free from ideological biases of either right or left. This understanding represents a profound shift in human thought. For most of Western history, people believed character was fixed and unalterable. The transformation from believing in unchangeability to embracing human plasticity emerged through political liberty, scientific advancement, and the concept of free will, one of the most significant revolutions in modern thought. Political liberty, scientific advancement, and theological debates shattered the ancient belief in human immutability. America became fertile ground for this vision of human plasticity through its democracy, frontier spirit, and emphasis on education. Today's economy celebrates individual choice, with markets promoting a deciding, choosing, pleasure-preoccupied self. The concept of selfhood evolved from the minimal medieval self to today's maximal self focused on gratification. This self-improvement culture contrasts with biological psychiatry's view that mental illness is physical and personality is largely genetic. The biomedical model emphasizes change through physical interventions and medication. The psychiatric drug revolution transformed treatment by demonstrating emotional disorders stem from brain chemistry. While psychiatric medications effectively alter emotions, they have significant side effects. Twin studies reveal personality is roughly half genetic, leaving substantial room for change through therapy and self-improvement. Anxiety is a universal daily experience with likely evolutionary roots. Our anxious ancestors survived by anticipating disasters, while carefree ones perished. Like a mental tongue, anxiety constantly probes for problems. For everyday anxiety, relaxation and meditation effectively engage competing response systems. These methods prove superior to minor tranquilizers and alcohol, which impair cognition, lose potency, and risk addiction. Panic disorder affects roughly 5% of American adults. Though traditionally viewed as biological, triggered by sodium lactate, genetically inherited, and medication responsive, David Clark of Oxford transformed treatment with a psychological approach. He proposed panic as catastrophic misinterpretation of normal bodily sensations. Perceiving a racing heart as a heart attack creates a self-reinforcing cycle. Clark's cognitive therapy teaches patients to reinterpret symptoms realistically and face sensations without panic. The results are striking. 90 to 100% of patients become panic-free with minimal recurrence after 1 year, outperforming drug treatments that often lead to relapse. This success shows how reframing thought patterns can transform even seemingly biological conditions. To understand phobias, we must first grasp how evolution constrains our capacity for change. Some traits persist because they protected our ancestors, phobias being a prime example of this evolutionary legacy. John Garcia's rat experiments revealed evolution's influence on learning. When rats consumed saccharine water with light and noise before radiation exposure, they only developed aversions to taste, ignoring other stimuli. This selective learning showed how taste became associated with illness, while visual and auditory cues linked only to pain. Phobias represent prepared conditioning with evolutionary roots. They target threats relevant to our ancestors, snakes, spiders, heights, rather than modern dangers like guns. These fears persist despite rational understanding, demonstrating how evolutionary programming resists change. Our jingle channel, the stream of semi-conscious thoughts, carries our emotional life and similarly resists voluntary control. In OCD, this channel produces intrusive thoughts paired with neutralizing ritual compulsions. While OCD has biological components, behavioral therapies like exposure and response prevention can significantly reduce symptoms. Depression is now 10 times more common than in our grandparents' generation, striking earlier in life and even affecting children. Despite unprecedented prosperity, it has become our era's emotional signature, the common cold of mental illness. Women experience depression at twice the rate of men, with three main explanations: learned helplessness from social conditioning toward passivity, tendency to ruminate on problems, and pursuit of unrealistic body standards that guarantee failure. Four effective treatments show similar success rates of 65-75%: medications, electroconvulsive therapy, cognitive therapy, and interpersonal therapy. While medications work within weeks but require continued use, cognitive therapy offers unique long-term protection by teaching sustainable coping skills. Post-traumatic stress disorder reveals how ancient trauma patterns persist in modern life. Studies of bereaved parents challenge the notion that time heals all wounds. Years after losing children to accidents, parents showed unchanged levels of depression, pessimism, and economic struggle, with higher divorce rates. Our erotic life consists of five layers built upon each other. The deepest, sexual identity, feeling male or female, and orientation, attraction preferences, have strong biological roots resistant to change. The ideal weight concept emerged from insurance data showing longer lifespans in lighter people. However, this correlation ignores natural biological variation in bone structure and metabolism. While most diets achieve short-term weight loss, research shows nearly universal weight regain. Like starved rats whose metabolism permanently adapts, human bodies develop stronger defenses with each diet cycle. Natural weight, the weight your body genetically defends, explains why dieting often fails. Identical twins rear apart maintain similar weights, yet most dieters pursue weights below their natural set point. Weight cycling may increase health risks, with studies showing dieters face 30-100% higher heart disease risk than those maintaining stable weight. Life has two major seasons, expansion and contraction. The first involves discovering and adapting to the world's demands. The second begins in midlife, when we refocus on what matters most intrinsically, a shift triggered by success, failure, boredom, or recognizing life's finite nature. Problems vary in their changeability, from highly curable conditions like panic to unchangeable traits like sexual identity. A problem's malleability depends on three factors: its biological foundations, how easily beliefs can be tested, and how fundamentally it shapes our worldview. True freedom comes from understanding these constraints. While our past doesn't imprison us, childhood experiences and even trauma have limited influence on our adult selves, we must work within our biological boundaries. Progress comes from focusing on what's truly changeable rather than fighting immutable traits. Understanding these limitations isn't fatalistic, but strategic. It helps us direct energy where it matters most, creating a foundation for genuine growth in a world that often promises more change than is possible.